Hockey Central at noon is Hockey Central at any time you want it to be. When you subscribe to the podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan. On demand.
Having a look inside the Weston Harbor Castle in downtown Toronto, Hockey Canada News Conference presented by Scotiabank, a Sportsnet exclusive. Welcome to it. David Amber is on site where Team Canada will name its management staff for the 2016 World Cup of Hockey alongside Nick Kyprios and Damian Cox. News conference scheduled for 11 Eastern. It is 11 Eastern and they are right on time. Here is David Amber and Tom Rennie.
First of all, I'd like to acknowledge our chairman of the board, Joe Driggle of Hockey Canada, Scott Smith, our COO, Mike Ross, our CBO, and I'd also like to acknowledge Bill Bowman, former president of the OHF, who sits here this morning as well. On top of that, before I discuss anything World Cup, I'd also like to acknowledge the women's soccer program, who last night had a very, very big win in Vancouver and have got themselves in the quarterfinals of an incredible tournament here on our own soil, and we wish them every success from this point on. The World Cup is coming back to Canada. It's coming back to Toronto in September of 2016. This should be a fabulous event and one that will be marked, I'm sure, by some of the best hockey that most of us have witnessed ever, and that includes over the last 4 to 6 years where we've seen incredible hockey already. The fact of the matter is today we are here to introduce the guys that will put this squad together to give Canada every opportunity to win this competition, hosted by the National Hockey League, the National Hockey League Players Association, in conjunction with the IIHF. Hockey Canada's part is very much as a host to this event as well, and over time you'll understand fully where our job is, and we are looking forward and excited about this responsibility of hosting this as well. That being said, I'd like to introduce Doug Armstrong, who will be the general manager of this effort. Doug has terrific history in the game internationally. He is one of the few members, I believe, in the game right now of the Triple Gold Club and serving management positions in both the Olympics, World Championships, and the Stanley Cup, of course, in Dallas of late. And the bottom line is that Doug comes with huge pedigree, obviously, and as he introduces his staff, you'll certainly be able to recognize exactly the same thing. This is a group of people that's charged, obviously, with putting a product on the ice that is to win hockey games and win this event without a doubt and to make it every bit the success that the NHL, the NHLPA, and the IIHF hope it to be. From a development point of view, which should surprise none of you, I look forward to this event on home soil because it is first and foremost an opportunity for our young people to watch the game at its finest, played by the best in the world, and understand that they too can aspire to great things both in and outside of hockey. So this is a wonderful opportunity from a development perspective as well, and we look forward to that as well as much as anything, quite honestly, as to what you'll see over that period of time. So without any further ado, I'd like to introduce our general manager for Canada's World Cup entry in the 2016 effort, Doug Armstrong.
Thank you very much. Before we start, I'd like to congratulate the Chicago Blackhawks on winning the Stanley Cup and four individuals who have represented Canada at the past two Olympics for their achievements. Brent Seabrook in 2010, Patrick Sharp in 2014, and Duncan Keith and Jonathan Taves in both 2010 and 2014. So, gentlemen, congratulations on a great achievement this year. The World Cup is going to bring the best players in the world together in a very innovative format designed by the NHL and the NHLPA. All the games will be played here in Toronto, and the competition should provide the best hockey available, and we're looking forward to be part of it. I'm very fortunate and humbled to be working with this great management staff. Ken Holland and I have worked together for the last two Olympics. Ken is the manager of the Detroit Red Wings. He has his name engraved on the Stanley Cup four times, a two-time Olympic gold medalist in 2010 and 14. And probably as a manager, the most amazing record is his 24 consecutive years of guiding the Red Wings into the playoffs, something that is very hard to do, obviously, and a record I think that will stand the test of time. Bob Murray joins our staff. Bob played over 1,000 NHL hockey games, part of a Stanley Cup champion in 2007 in Anaheim. Bob was recognized by his peers last year as the top manager in our game and is actually up to defend that title in Vegas in a couple of days. Mark Bergevin comes in with over 1,100 NHL games. Mark has his name on the Stanley Cup as working with Chicago Blackhawks a few years ago. In his 3 years in Montreal, Mark also has been nominated and recognized by his peer group as a finalist for General Manager of the Year. Mark has got the Canadiens in a great spot, always looked as a team that can compete and win the Stanley Cup, and is doing a fabulous job in Quebec and the Montreal Canadiens. Rob Blake comes to our staff with the quote-unquote been there, done that portion on the international stage. Rob's represented Canada in the World Cup twice, winning in 1994 and 97, a Stanley Cup champion in 2001 with the Colorado Avalanche, a 2002 Olympic champion, 1998 Norris Trophy winner. This could last a while, Rob, sorry. a member of the Hockey Hall of Fame. And since retiring, Rob has gone on and worked 3 years in the National Hockey League, has then moved back to the Los Angeles Kings, has worked on their management staff, winning the Stanley Cup a year ago, and was also the general manager of the AHL champions this year of the Monarch team, or I'm sorry, the Manchester Monarchs. And last but not least, Scotty Salmon. Scotty comes with a huge history with Hockey Canada. His fingerprints are all over the last two Olympic teams, but more importantly, he touches the World Junior team and the women's team. And we're really fortunate to have Scott on board as to help us guide through these international waters. So I can't obviously sit here and guarantee that we're going to win the World Cup, but what I can guarantee the fans of Canada is that this group will work tirelessly to put the best coaching staff together, the best players together, to represent our country with great pride and dignity. We really, Tom, appreciate the opportunity to work with this, and we're really looking forward to it. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Doug Armstrong and Tom Rennie. We'll now take a group picture, so we would like to invite photographers in front for a group picture. On inviterait maintenant les photographes à venir en avant pour une photo. That concludes the formal portion of the press conference. Please note that all our guests will be available for interviews. Tous nos invités vont être disponibles pour des entrevues. Thank you to the NHL, NHLPA for their support with this press conference. And on behalf of Hockey Canada, au nom de Hockey Canada, thank you, everyone. Merci à tous. Thank you.
Well, there you have it. That is the management team for the 2016 offering for Team Canada, the World Cup of Hockey, alongside Nick Kyprios and Damian Cox. Doug Armstrong, that wasn't exactly a surprise. John Shannon breaking that news last night on Twitter. Ken Holland, Mark Bergevin, who is sort of seen as a rising star in some ways for Hockey Canada. Rob Blake, Scott Salmon's there as well. And Bob Murray as well. Initial thoughts on the management team, guys.
Well, for me, no surprise with the history that Doug Armstrong had. I think they could have gone either way. Ken Holland could have certainly been the guy at the forefront, but they went with Doug Armstrong. And the ability now to bring up, as we said, young and up-and-comers, Mark Bergevin and Rob Blake, guys that are very well-respected in Hockey Canada, now get their opportunity to get their feet wet.
I mean, for Armstrong and Holland, it's their turn. You know, Steve Yzerman did the last two Olympics. They were his right-hand men. They're now going to go and try to run this thing. I'm sure it's the two of them. Armstrong may be named the GM. Ken Holland's going to be right there. But as you say, you know, an interesting group, you know, Mark Bergevin involved, Bob Murray. And what we've seen in the last number of years, whether it's at World Championships or the Olympics, they try to get a lot of people involved. They really do. You know, Rob Blake at the most recent World Championships, we saw George McPhee and Sean Burke and Fat Pat Verbeek and Jim Neal was running that team. Yeah. So, you know, the Hockey Canada is really trying to get a lot of people involved. And then when you get to a big event like this, you know, it's an opportunity for those who have done the best.
Yeah, do we look at this sort of as a... maybe changing of the guard is a little bit too strong, but for lack of a better term, do we look at this as a changing of the guard? Well, we're used to seeing Steve Yzerman.
I think he didn't want to do it anymore, right? He really, and look, he took a lot of hits with his own team, with the Marty St. Louis situation in 2014, and I think he basically said, someone else's turn.
Well, let's not forget, too, this is a 12-month process here. Stevie Yzerman has the Tampa Bay Lightning. He also has a family. There's an incredible balance act that has to be in. You got to consider taking on this job, and now Doug Armstrong certainly will have the energy to do that, and Stevie Yzerman didn't.
But it's tough. These guys have so it takes so much time now. It's almost a 12-month-a-year job to run an NHL franchise. Doug Armstrong's, there's a lot of heat in St. Louis after the way that that season ended. Now he's adding this. So, I'm impressed by these guys. It would be just as easy to say, you know what, I'm going to worry about my own situation back at home. But they take this on, and it's time-consuming.
It is indeed, and it's a tall order running that St. Louis Blues squad where expectations are high going into
next season.
And
all you have to do is win.
Well, it's just that simple, Dan.
That's all you have to do.
That may have been the quickest Hockey Canada press conference we've ever seen. For more on what we just saw, here's David Amber at the Harbour Castle. David?
All right. Thanks so much, Jeff. That was the most efficient Hockey Canada news conference we've ever seen. They were just commenting on that. Let's hope everything's as efficient for you over the next 15 months. Congratulations on the naming under this post. And you have a long history on the international scene for Canadian hockey. Knowing what this sport means in this country, what does this mean to you to be leading the team?
Well, it's certainly a great privilege and an honor to work with Hockey Canada and the people at Hockey Canada and represent our country. But from my perspective, it's just a great experience to work with these guys. I'm going to get an opportunity to work with some of the best in our game. And I know that the country is looking for us to put a good product on the ice. And I'm very comfortable after watching the Stanley Cup playoffs and the World Championships. There's a lot of great players to select from.
And listen, you have experience in doing this, not just as a GM in the National Hockey League, but your work with Steve Yzerman on the last two Olympic winning teams. How did that experience maybe going to help you prepare over the next 15 months for this experience?
Well, really starting to work with Steve back in 2007 at the World Championships in Moscow, and his leadership, I gained a lot from his leadership on taking our time, making sure that we do the correct details, look at the details and putting this team together, the coaching, picking the right coaching staff to make sure everyone's in unison together, and just taking our time and using all the resources available to us to put the best product on the ice.
Well, you know, you're now under the gun as far as, well, who's going to be the coach, who are you going to name as the coach? What's going to go into that decision for you?
Well, we were talking about before, as many great players there's that many great coaches to choose from. Obviously, you have Joel Quenneville, who's won three Stanley Cups. Mike Babcock has won the last two Olympics. You have Alain Vigneault, who's won a couple of President's Trophies. Sutter's won a couple of Stanley Cups. So this list could go on and on. So we're going to sit down and decide what's the best avenue to go. We have to pick our first 16 players by March 1st. So our goal would be to have the coaches in place to help solidify that 16. But we were joking earlier. I think the first 16 is going to be easy. It's the next group that's going to be the difficult part.
And it's a unique situation because you can't just choose any player. It has to be at least 24 years of age and older. How unique a challenge is that going to be for you?
Well, you look at a couple of players like Ekblad at the World Championships this year. He was outstanding and certainly would have been maybe the Drew Doughty of this tournament if he was available for us. But I think they're going to have enough good players at 24 to help us out. But it's going to be a lot of fun, and we're really looking forward to it.
And for those out there wondering, there was only two players, Duchesne and Tavares, 23 and younger, at the 2014 Olympics, so no shortage of talent for the Canadian team. What about on a personal note? You're sitting there striving to bring a Stanley Cup to the St. Louis Blues, and now you've got to try and bring a World Cup championship to Canada, and we know there's going to be a lot of pressure involved there. How do you marry those two jobs for yourself?
Well, I've had the opportunity to do that the last couple of years, and I really think it really helps the day job, working with this level of people, talking about these type of players. And when you're surrounding yourself with winners, a lot of stuff rubs off. So I'm going to gain a lot more from these guys than they're going to gain from me, but I'm really looking forward to that.
No shortage of help. We saw a lot of great hockey leaders there on the podium with you. Congratulations, Doug, and best of luck over the next 15 months.
Thank you very much.
All right, Jeff, let's go back to you.
And he'll have help from about 30 million other general managers across Canada in selecting this team. And a particular note as well, when you look at the list of coaches, now he mentioned Quenneville and Babcock, Vigneault and Daryl Sutter and the like. Here are some potential candidates, guys. We look at Mike Babcock, of course, back-to-back gold medals. He may want the reprieve after coaching the Toronto Maple Leafs next season. Joel Quinn will
not
be top of
not
list.
A
Ken
chance.
Hitchcock and Todd McLellan.
Not a chance.
If you were handicapping this one, Nick, who would you go to?
Mike Babcock. And that's not to take anything away from Joel Quenneville, because he will be part of the team. But because this tournament is based out of Toronto, because all the games will be out of the Air Canada Centre, this guy has to be the head coach. And again, coming off a Stanley Cup, you would think Joel Quenneville. And, you know, you could easily have Joel Quenneville as the head coach. Mm-hmm. But again, when the market is based out of Toronto and Mike Babcock has the command out of the media like he does, I think it just is logical that you would have Babcock behind the bench. If you had Joel, people would even be drawn to Mike Babcock anyways, and he'd probably overshadow Joel Quenneville in this Toronto market. Well, I don't think that there's any choice but to have Mike Babcock as the head coach here.
It's interesting because this isn't the Olympics. they've got to sell this
event. That's right. They've
got to sell this event. Last time it was held in 2004, the head coach was Pat Quinn from the Toronto Maple Leafs. Now, yeah. I'm not saying they're going to pick the Toronto coach that because of that. I think it's Mike Babcock because he's one of the last two Olympics. He gets to say yes or no. What if he says no, though? What if he says, like Eiserman, I don't want to do it?
No. You can't sign that deal and have that type of attention on you and say, I will just dip my toe and be a guy in the background to Joel Quenneville in Toronto. And you said it, Damon.
Right.
There's a sales job involved in this. And the way you do that is you have the guy with the biggest presence. And that will be Mike Babcock in Toronto opposed to Joel Quenneville. And that doesn't mean Joel's not deserving of being the head coach. Right. He should be.
Well, he has been.
He should be
the
head coach based on the last Stanley Cup. But in this instance, it'll be Babcock.
Well, Mike Babcock's former general manager, now standing by with David Amber. That is, of course, Ken Holland. David?
All right, thanks. Yeah, the executive VP and GM of the Red Wings. And they were debating in studio who the coach should be. Do you have a say on who's going to be the head coach here?
Well, we're going to make the decision. I mean, lots of great coaches to consider. Yeah. Certainly, I worked with Mike Babcock, and Babs did a great job with us in Sochi and Vancouver. And certainly, he's going to be one of the people that coach that we talk about. But, you know, there's, you know, obviously Joel Quenneville now has won 3 Stanley Cups in, was it 5 or 6 years? And, you know, Elaine Vigneault has won, a couple President's Trophies here in the last few years. So, tremendous candidates. And I know that March 1st, we have to submit our first group of players. So, somewhere in advance of that, we want to have the coaching staff in place so that they can weigh in on the group of players that we pick.
On a personal note, Ken, what did it mean to you when they reached out to you and said, we'd love you to be a part of something we hope will be a gold medal winning team here in Canada?
Well, I think any time you get an opportunity to represent your country and work with the group of, you know, Hockey Canada with Tom Rennie. I obviously worked with him in the Red Wings 1 year, and I've been with Doug in Vancouver Olympics and the Sochi Olympics, and to work with Bob and Rob is a tremendous honor, and Bergie. So it was, you know, when I got the call from Tom Rennie, it was easy to say yes, because wonderful to represent the country and have had 2 fabulous experiences in Vancouver and Sochi.
Well, Ken, incredible success in the NHL, the 24 straight playoff appearances, all the Stanley Cups as well. How do you compare the pressures of trying to win for an NHL team compared to winning for your country?
You know, different pressures, but pressure. Certainly we understand, we're all proud Canadians, and we understand that, you know, we want to win gold. I mean, we're a proud hockey country, and we're proud when we win gold. Certainly the World Championship team went over this year in Prague and watched them, fabulous team, and they made us proud. So, lots of pressure, but for us, I don't think there's pressure, because it's what we do every day. You hunker down and you go about your business, and you let other people worry about second-guessing or evaluating or whatever goes on out there. We got to go through a process to pick a group of players that we think are going to, help us win the World Cup tournament.
Well, best of luck and continued success. And you got some work to do, I guess, in Florida as well this weekend. So best of luck with that, Ken.
Yeah, big week. Yeah, thank you.
All right. Jeff?
And, you know, unlike previous entries, and Canada goes in as the defending champs, winning against Finland in 2004, will not be able to select players, as David mentioned with Doug Armstrong a couple of seconds ago, 24 and under. Those names would include Aaron Ekblad of the Florida Panthers, Dougie Hamilton with the Boston Bruins, and Nathan MacKinnon, Connor McDavid, Sean Monahan, Morgan Riley. It must be bizarre, though. I can't help but thinking, if you're, you know, someone who's been loyal to the Hockey Canada program as a young man, whether it's Nathan MacKinnon, whether it's Connor McDavid, whether it's Aaron Ekblad, suiting up for a team and playing against Team Canada. It's a unique dynamic this time around.
We've never seen this before, right?
No, and it must feel weird for those players.
Yeah, until puck drop, and then it's just any other game, as long as you don't bring your autograph book with you if you're under 23 years old. But these guys now have a bigger impact today in the game than ever before in history, and that's because of the development that we've seen over the years. They're physically stronger than before. Maybe it's the milk, maybe it's not. But the bottom line is you can be 18 years of age now and have a major impact on your respective NHL club. So we'll see where this goes. Does the pressure get to them because of the lack of inexperience? Possibly. But some of these guys physically will be able to handle it, Damian.
Well, and we talked about the selling of this event, and this is the first time it's happened since 2004. Would you rather see this under-23 team with Connor McDavid and Jack Eichel and Nathan MacKinnon and Aaron Ekblad and all those, or would you rather see Canada play the Swiss? And I think that's basically what they've said is, for the purposes of this tournament, for the purposes of selling tickets, they believe that this team will be much more appealing. I think this World Cup we're going to have to get our heads around it, because it's a different kind of event. It's not just best on best, bring your best players. And whether it works or not, I think it's going to be fascinating to watch.
It does very much seem as if this is, you know, the NHL and the Players Association trying to make sure the best players available are available for this tournament, regardless of the makeup of the team, and not just designated by country.
And let's face it, based on previous years, Connor McDavid probably wouldn't make Team Canada. But you get him in the tournament. Isn't that good?
You know what? I don't even know about that. I think you can go back to Eric Lindros.
Canada's a little deep down the middle.
Yeah, but you can talk about other guys, right? I mean, who haven't made it in the first. Yeah. And people went. Steve Stamkos was an example.
Let's hear from the president and CEO of Hockey Canada, standing by with David Amber. That is, of course, Tom Rennie. David.
All right, thank you so much. Yeah, the architect behind this executive group. But what went into this decision? Doug Armstrong is the GM and a talented group of assistant GMs under him.
I think, obviously, success in the National Hockey League, no question of that, David. I think beyond that, certainly the international success that that individual have. And it's interesting, across the National Hockey League, there's a lot of that, to say the least. But certainly with this group here, we needed to make sure that we had the experience of winning in the international game, if you will, and identify the success that people have had in the NHL, too. That being said, this is an outstanding group led by Doug.
How does this challenge change for you? You're not allowed to collect the Connor McDavids, the young, the Aaron Ekblads, the under 23 players. How's that changing things from your scope as you develop now the players behind this management team?
Yeah, I don't know that it changes a whole lot. You pay attention to your management group for sure. Obviously, there'll be a scouting group, and there'll be the bird dogs that they have in every arena across North America to identify with the Canadian players that are performing well. It's a younger demographic, that we deal with in the World Junior Championship under 18. Those types of things. The NHL. We're dealing with the very best in the world, period. And that's exciting, given the fact that these fellas are charged with putting that group together.
Now, I talked to Doug Armstrong, Ken Holland. They said it was a no-brainer. They get the call from Tom Rennie. They were there in a heartbeat. What about the players? Will there be a unique challenge sort of eating into what was conventionally their sort of time off or their training time to say, we need you to compete for Canada where nothing short of gold will be accepted?
Right. I think, and this is only me speaking, I believe that the timing of the event is good. I think the players will be certainly in their training mode by then anyway. They'll be on the ice. They'll be doing everything they possibly can to be ready for training camp. It might escalate that by a couple of weeks for sure, but the bottom line is, they want to play hockey, and the sooner they can do that and be this competitive this early, I think sets them up nicely for their season.
What about the coaching decision? There's a lot being already debated in our studio, and I'm sure amongst Canadians, who should be the man leading behind the bench?
There are so many good candidates, and I'm sure the names that people are throwing around are legitimate, to say the least, and there are some that are obvious, of course. But we'll take our time. We've got we have enough runway in front of us to make sure that we get an opportunity to discuss each and every one of these candidates, and there are good ones. There's some outstanding coaching getting done in the world nowadays, certainly by Canadians. It's no different than the National Hockey League, where really the cream of the crop exists, and we'll pay attention very, very closely to who's doing what.
Well, congratulations on the executive team that you've assembled so far, and best of luck over the next 15 months, Tom.
Thanks, David. Appreciate it.
All right, Jeff.
David, thanks very much. The Hockey Canada press conference brought to you by Scotiabank. And let the excitement begin now. Let the hype begin. Let the momentum begin. The management staff has now been named coaching staff. And as you mentioned, we go to March where the first 15 players have to be named.
Well, we talked about the coaching aspect and the debate there. But the bigger one will be player selection, Damien. Mm-hmm. And we've gone through this process before as Canadians. How much we invest as fans emotionally on who gets picked. And I go back to the last Olympics and the blue line and how difficult that decision was. Who's coming? Who's going? PK Subban, is he going to get named? If so, how much is he going to play? And now all of a sudden you add the names like TJ Brody, mm-hmm. and Mark Giordano.
Absolutely.
Into the mix. And it gets that much more intriguing.
Well, it becomes part of the narrative from the beginning of next season. Every guy who gets off to a good start, is he playing himself into a possible position with Team Canada for the World Cup? So it really becomes part of the conversation for every single game, every single achievement. Guys who aren't having good years, guys who are too old. Now we know there's going to be guys who are too young. All of a sudden, we got to scrutinize birthdays. When was he born? Who can he play for?
That's right.
So,
that's right.
Well,
you've been doing that heading into the draft come on Friday.
That's right.
He's a late 97. He's an early.
Exactly.
No more. Marty Brodeur anymore, so now the question is, who plays behind Carey Price?
Great question.
Holtby,
Well, yeah.
Have a look at that blue line as well.
Crawford, of course.
And you have a look at that Sochi team and
see,
how many people are
there. Yes. We're supposed to have the
Let's
summer
get it
off.
Going. Let's get it going.
No summer off. It is an election year federally as well, so we'll wring our hands about that and who gets in. And who gets in representing Team Canada at the World Cup of Hockey. Don't forget NHL Awards Las Vegas. Kipper and Stromba will be there. Enjoy Vegas, Kips.
Yes, baby.
And then NHL Draft in Sunrise.
Damien needs a new pair of shoes.
That little speaker on your phone doesn't stand a chance. Subscribe to the Brady and Walker podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. Knocking your teeth loose with the best hockey coverage possible. This is Hockey Central on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
And welcome to an extended version of Hockey Central. We'll call it before noon, Eastern, anyhow. Jeff Merrick for Darren Millard alongside John Shannon and Damian Cox, coming off what turned out to be one of the quickest press conferences we've ever seen from Hockey Canada. They named their management staff for the 2016 World Cup of Hockey. News, John, that you broke yesterday. Doug Armstrong heads this one up. What's that?
You guys are overdressed.
I was going to say, did you not get the
memo?
Either
we're overdressed.
Yeah.
Or...
So why'd you leave poor Bob Murray out? Well, you got something against
I'm a friend of Gabby's.
Oh, really?
I'm just kidding.
He's
I
one
only
of those
had
guys.
140 characters.
Okay, so just so we're, in case you missed the press conference, just so we're all clear, it's Doug Armstrong, Ken Holland, Bob Murray, a shock to a few. Mark Bergevin, seen as somewhat of a rising star, a cup with the Blackhawks, of course, GM of the Montreal Canadiens, and Rob Blake, who's another rising
and
star.
And I think Bob Murray's inclusion is really interesting. I mean, really good hockey man. He's done a great job in Anaheim.
Yep.
But again, it strikes me. So at the most recent World Championships, the team was, GM was Jim Nill with George McPhee, Sean Burke, Pat Verbeek, Claude Wazell. Todd McClellan was a coach. The Worlds before that, Rob Blake, Ron Hextall, Brad Treliving. Point being, they love to involve a lot of people. They've got a lot of, we talk about the number of players. We talk about the number of coaches they can choose from. They've really worked hard to cultivate a deep staff of management people. So, I mean, it's nice that Doug Armstrong answers the call every single time, but they can call on other people as well.
But there's two things, though. First of all, I think there was an obligation, a subtle obligation to a guy like Armstrong simply because of his long tenure with the Olympic teams and with world champions.
13 years.
The other thing is there has been a bit of a changing of the guard at Hockey Canada.
Feels that way.
When you consider the change from Bob Nicholson to Tom Rennie. And whether, you know, and Tom and Bob are friends, but everybody has their own different management style and their own way of making things work. I totally agree that of what you're saying, that they go deep. But
so where's the change that you perceive it?
I think that it's a broader base of guys. When you talk about what happened at the World Championships, that group of guys that did the World Championships, I just think that there's a little, maybe a 20 to 30% shift in the style of person that Tom is using as opposed to Bob. And it just becomes personal preference more than anything else.
It does very much seem like a changing of the guard. And perhaps this is because the last couple of Olympics, we've seen Steve Yzerman front and center. And
he,
a lot of ways,
he's with Armstrong
but wasn't Yzerman the face of all of it?
You know what? To some degree, I think there's no Bob Nichols involved. There's no Kevin Lowe involved.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, so I suppose in that regard that you've got, and obviously, no Steve Yzerman involved.
You're not surprised about that, though, are you?
No, he didn't want to do it.
Right.
And I think you saw in the last Olympics, everything that happened with Marty St. Louis and all that. There's a risk of some to some extent, and there's a lot of heat on these guys in their individual markets. You hope that their owners celebrate them being involved in this kind of stuff, but it does take some of their attention.
Well, you know, we just talked about this a couple of seconds ago, hosting the press conference. I mean, if you're Doug Armstrong, for example, expectations, and they should be, are high with the St. Louis Blues, and playoffs have produced failure after question marks. Yeah. And look at this team, and they're, you know, favorites to come out of the Western Conference and compete for the Stanley Cup.
Yep.
If you're Doug Armstrong, this is a huge mountain for you. When you juggle the fact that
you know, you're running a team that's, you know, underperformed and are on the verge of almost becoming the new San Jose Sharks.
And what's not really mentioned is the World Cup of Hockey will run parallel to NHL training camps.
Right.
I mean, so
right.
at a time when player evaluation and discussion points with your management group of your own club, these guys are going to be in Toronto. These guys are going to be for the 2 weeks of the tournament and what's leading up to it. They're going to be focused a little, one would think, a great deal on the World Cup team as opposed to their own teams.
Well, and let's say Mike Babcock, who should be offered the job first.
Agreed.
If he were to take this job, mm-hmm. chances are he'll be coaching a non-playoff team next year.
Mm-hmm.
Not a very good team. One of the worst teams he'll have had in the National Hockey League. Then he goes into this. So, you know what? You've got good hockey people. Their NHL record and what's going on with their NHL team isn't necessarily reflective of why they're in these positions. But still, generally, we're used to the very best in Canada getting these jobs. So, you know, I think their performances, and as the year goes on, it becomes part of the narrative, right?
Yeah.
I think it was, Shanny's got a better memory than me, it wasn't Ken Hitchcock fired during the season before winning
right.
the Olympics?
That's right, in 2009-10.
And it could happen. I mean, it could happen again. And it sometimes makes it awkward. But there's such depth in all these people. And I do think the inclusion of Bob Murray for the first time, I think.
That's I believe that as well.
How's the selection process go? For those that don't know, you guys are real
players,
close to
you
this
mean?
One. No, as far as the executive go, because Damian, you mentioned it rightfully so, and you see it at the World Championships, right? Each and every year, there's almost a new collection of faces and people that we see running Team Canada.
Well,
and in some ways,
yeah.
That's sort
well, the
of the audition for bigger roles within Hockey Canada.
Bob Murray's for the second time, by the way.
Okay.
Murray's second time?
So for the Worlds, it's often a very basic thing, availability.
Yeah.
You know, your team's got to miss the playoffs, or you're not going to be able to. Or, like George McPhee, like Claude Loisel, you may have been working for somebody, and now you're not back in a full-time basis again. Sean Burke was involved as well. The year before that, it was Rob Blake was the GM mm-hmm. the year before that, with Ron Hextall, Brad Treliving, Steve Staios was involved then as well. So it has to do a lot with availability, but it does. You do get the sense that they are sort of always actively recruiting new people.
Well, and really the opportunities for and this is something that I think has carried on from Nicholson's regime, very in a very much a way of rebuilding a guy's career, giving him new opportunity, exposing him to new situations. I truly believe a guy like George McPhee, who was available to go to the Worlds, an opportunity to network with other people. Claude Loisel, the same situation. Mm-hmm. Ken Holland and Doug Armstrong have known about this for a long time. And when I define a long time, I mean, we had brief discussions about it over a couple of beers at the managers' meetings that they were going to be involved in the World Cup and the process. So from that perspective, Hockey Canada is continually planning. You know, they have world championships coming up. It's the same process that they use for the World Junior Championship on how to select guys. And in many ways, what they do is they nurture people along over years, mm-hmm. give them opportunities in other programs, and then bring them to something of the Olympic level. And obviously, this is new when you consider the last one was 11 years ago. But this was an opportunity to go and try to put an elite team together.
Three executives from the Western Conference, two from the Eastern Conference, one from a Canadian team. That's Mark Bergevin. You mentioned George McPhee. Would there be some wisdom in having someone who's not currently employed in the NHL to have a sort of take that third party objective view of the entire league, of the entire process, as opposed to someone whose, you know, business day to day is running an NHL team?
I suspect that's Scott Salmon's job. Scott Salmon, who is a full-time Hockey Canada employee, I would suspect that he's, and let's face it, Scott's been involved in all of these programs for a long period of time. So from that perspective, that he's probably that second thought guy. You know, the other key thing in all this, and I don't want to downplay it at all, is it was important to have a bilingual person on this team. This is Canada's team. This is not just English Canada's team. So to have Mark Bergevin part of this, I truly believe was very important.
I think you're underselling Kenny Holland's French. you know.
Listen, he's from Medicine Hat Tigers. Medicine Hat and Vernon, B.C. are not really, really big French-speaking cities in our country.
No, Trevor Linden to Kelly Rudy, all the great Medicine Hat Tigers are all about
Respectful, you absolutely have to have somebody involved.
Now the conversation will quickly turn to who's the right coach. And then we'll have the player discussion, which has really already begun. And we all make our lists. And
makes it easy, though, this year.
Well, under 23 and under.
There's 15% of the guys you don't even have to consider.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting squad as well. We're just talking, throwing this
I haven't looked at the birth dates, though. Is there anybody? There must be a few players
on the
who are right on the just cusp. Miss it oh. or yeah. just make it one way or the other. Yeah. And if you're that guy, would you rather play for Team Canada or would you rather play for the
Well, here's 23? Here's what I keep coming back to. And we've seen this during lockouts at the Spangler when club teams featuring NHL players will play against the Team Canada squad.
Sure.
And how bizarre that may feel, whether it's Joe Thornton or Marty Sandler. We've seen it in the past. You think it's bizarre for those guys? I mean, I can't put myself in there. I mean,
you know what? People have for years been saying there should just be a second Canadian team, you know, stronger, because the imbalance between the hockey powers, particularly in Canada at the top, and the smaller nations is still such that it's, I mean, you'll get one like Latvia sort of almost upsetting Canada at the Olympics. But generally speaking,
they're one shot away.
Well, yeah,
that.
But they'd had to get a shot. They weren't getting any shots.
True.
But anyways.
As long as you have one guy coming out of the other side of the bench, you got a chance.
Gudlevskis was about to join the rush and salted away for Latvia.
But so, I think this has been something that there are those who have said, why not a Team Quebec? Right. Why not? You know, and we've seen different formats at the, which tournament is it now? The World, whatever.
The under 17s?
The under 17s where they've got. So there is, it depends what you want.
It seems as if this time around, the NHL and the Players Association sat down and said, how do we get all of the stars in this tournament?
Yeah. Which makes whatever the Russian team will be fascinating to see. Just, who are they going
to
use?
Just to finish your thought, one of the biggest challenges for, I think, a lot of Canadians is going to be Canadian players, is that from the time they're 16 and 17 years old, and the center of excellence and the hockey program that Hockey Canada has designed was to put that maple leaf on.
Right.
Was to do that. Was to win the World Junior Championships once or maybe twice. And the whole concept of, you know, every stall in every locker room, team, you know, you write a letter of why you want.
Oh, yeah.
It's all Canada all the time. What you looked like when you were 12. Why you play this game. So to have that, like Connor McDavid, move away from him. And to know that Connor McDavid will not play for Canada at the World Cup of Hockey, but will play, I would assume, would play in the tournament, you have to think, how different and how much of a challenge is that for someone like that?
See, that's my question. How bizarre is it for, you know, Nathan MacKinnon? How bizarre is it for Connor McDavid? People that, you know, kids that grew up in that Hockey Canada program, all of a sudden, stand down, son, for this tournament, we're letting the big boys handle it. And you're playing against Team Canada.
Well, and if you believe that this is part of a plan ultimately to have the World Cup supplant the Olympics, that you're going to have the World Cup of Hockey go every 4 years, and you know it's not as convenient for the NHL to be involved in the Olympics. If that's the plan, it does change. Which would you prefer? This format? Or would you rather have
I kind of feel
two
like,
other teams?
John, you're so close to this story. I mean, you've been on the World Cup of Hockey from years ago. It seems as if they're going to try new things this time around, but nothing is set in stone.
Correct. I think this could be a one-off. And this could be a situation that suggests where are we 6 years from now or 5 years from now when the World Cup returns again? And are the Danes strong enough as a country? Are the Swiss strong enough as a country?
No. Well, they can't close the gap.
No,
they just
can't. They're not going to have a Team Slovenia, but they want Kopitar in the tournament.
Well, and
how do we do it?
And quite frankly, that's the Players Association saying that.
Yeah.
That's their role in all this, is making sure that a tournament of this ilk is inclusive. You know, not to bemoan other sports, but this is what the Ryder Cup went through. You know, the Ryder Cup originally was United States versus Great Britain. well, the Americans kept winning, and then all of a sudden...
they tweaked it.
So they tweaked it. And so that's... This World Cup is a tweak on in trying to make it more inclusive for more people and more players. And it's not a bad idea. It really isn't.
It's funny, you know. John, I was thinking about you yesterday.
What?
I was thinking about you watching the U.S. Open. And I was thinking every time that ball tracker went up.
Yeah, it was good, wasn't it?
And I actually thought, this kind of helps me.
Exactly.
I can see where the ball's going now. And I thought about you and you being one of the few people who, with the Fox flaming puck,
sure,
saying, what's wrong with that? And we are.
And I did say that, didn't
you
I?
You did say that. And people are resistant to change.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you think?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Really? Basically, when someone says they don't like a change, it's because they don't want any change, mm-hmm, ever about anything. And when you look at this World Cup, you've already heard some people say, oh, what's this? It is change. It is different.
Yeah.
But if you look back over the history of international hockey, whether we've been in Canada Cups, whether we had the Summit Series, whether we've had World Championships without Canada, whether you've had
Olympics, you know, without Canada,
Olympics or
non-NHLers, you know, non-NHL teams, yep,
you know, all that. The history of hockey is change. And I would imagine the smart thing now would be all those bells and whistles that we saw with the U.S. Open yesterday,
yeah,
that some of those other bells and whistles, along with the format, will be incorporated to make this not the Olympics, but very different.
Well, and to that point, I mean, player tracking is coming to the National Hockey League at a certain level in October.
Right.
And so a year from now, you have to hope and think that September, that technology will be that much more advanced after some tweaking. So, yes, I would expect that there'll be a lot more opportunities for technology to be part of the World Cup when you consider, Damien, one rink. A single rink, you know,
they can set it up like a television studio more than ever.
It is a TV studio, right? And that is the whole idea, is that this is a one venue situation. By the way, the other thing is, you don't think that there'll be a ton of people from, you know, New York State or even the Eastern Seaboard of the United States and Canada wanting to see the young stars play, wanting to see the brightest young. So right. There's another opportunity to sell tickets.
I think that's what
tickets.
I'm saying. When you're hearing, and that's why I was kind of linking it with the U.S. Open yesterday, when you're hearing, this is different, but it could take off. People might really like it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Might say, I love seeing Connor McDavid proving himself against, you know, okay, Sidney Crosby or that sort of.
Let's do that. Okay, so put on your, John, put on your TV executive's hat here. Right?
He never takes it off.
I know, that's a
good
point.
He always has it on.
Pull it down even tighter.
You know, I'm just trying to do a job here, okay?
You look at traditional Chinese medicine, all disease and stagnation.
Hey, listen,
so don't let hockey stagnate here.
Are we having dinner in Quebec City?
Here we go. We're going to get in that argument
again.
This
is like Quebec City all over
and
again.
And then the opera will break out.
That's right. You guys, by the way, missed a great dinner with me and Shani screaming at each other for an hour in Quebec City at 2 o'clock in the morning. But, okay, so from a TV. From a TV.
Good thing my wife was there to officiate.
I know, she was the premier étoile, first star. From a TV point of view, how would you like to see this thing shot? Like if we said, okay, John, you're in charge of this World Cup of hockey, we'll want to try new things. We want to, you know, innovate the game, innovate the coverage. What would you do?
Well, I think that rather than saying what would you like to do, I think you have to give the viewer options, you know. And I think when you talk about multiple platforms like this company has, and one of the reasons they buy the rights is that there's going to be, and it might even be by age, there's going to be guys old like me that just want conventional television and enjoy it. So put it on as a typical Saturday night Hockey Night in Canada broadcast, simple replay, simple close-ups, simple graphics. But then on the other platforms, give viewers the opportunity to see different angles of replays, different sound. I mean, one of the things that is growing so, and the NHL, again, is doing a very good job of it, is growing their ability to put sound on TV, quality sound. Wouldn't it be good to be able to hear a little more what the players say? Yeah, albeit censored at a certain
point.
Well,
maybe.
No, but
like a little salt on your game, John.
But you know what Rogers has tried to do, and what the league has tried to do over the last few years with Game Center Live, is build opportunities for the viewer. Well, this is a chance, I would suspect, and I haven't read the contract, but I would to put those opportunities on different channels. Like take Sportsnet 360 and make the game camera all the time on Sportsnet 360 the rail cam. And run replays off of it. What the NBA, has done some experimentation. So has the National Football League done experimentation, and the NCAA, albeit the most conservative group in the history of sport, have done some fantastic things at the Final Four. For instance, if it was Kentucky versus Duke in the semifinal, you can watch the Kentucky version of the broadcast.
Well, and, Duke, I think you're right, the voices, and you think about what that's done for curling.
Yes.
Well, yesterday when we could see Jordan Spieth discussing a putt with
caddy. Great? Isn't it great?
Going back and forth. Now, the NHL hasn't done this as much for some obvious reasons. The language can get salty. But a couple of years ago, you'll remember, 2 years ago, we didn't do it this year, right? On CHL games. If there was review, you could hear the conversation going back on.
That won't happen.
Well, but things like why
not? Dynamite, though, John. Why not? I've never understood the resistance to that.
Well, we'll have to put some senior league executives.
I know, we're putting you in a possible spot here.
We have to put some senior league executives on the air to discuss why they don't like it.
Do you ever think now? This is ESPN will be doing this.
Yeah.
Down south.
Yeah,
and of course. Roger Sportsnet up here in Canada. Do you ever think we'll see the flaming puck again?
I think we'll see something. I think we'll see the tracking somehow. I think it'll improve.
You know what was the thing with that golf yesterday? They didn't use it all the time.
No.
They used it a little
NBC,
bit of time.
All the networks have had it. The great thing is, and this is where you have to tip your hat to Fox. Fox is never afraid to take chances.
And take hits and take criticism.
David Hill and Ed Gorin, the guys that were doing the Fox stuff originally in the National Football League and the NHL, they were the ones that invented the scorebook.
Yeah.
I'd like to sit here and say, at Hockey Night in Canada, we invented the scorebook. Not a chance. That was the Fox hockey guys.
And you went.
Fox.
Oh, that's a good
one. No, at first I said.
Greatness borrows,
no,
but genius steals. We'll take that. Thank you.
I tell you what, I've stolen a lot more than I've invented. But then what you do is you say, how do we compromise and grow it subtly? And that's what. And Fox doesn't care. They just boom. They just do it. Yeah. And give them credit. I love what they do all the time. They're my favorite football broadcast. Yeah. I love what they do.
Because they're willing to
take chances.
Try things. You know, I think that, that Fox puck too, I think that if it would have come along years later when the technology was right for
it. Was better, yeah.
We probably would have had a more forgiving perspective on what that thing was. Because I think the idea was good.
Yeah.
I really do. We all as Canadians grew up, watching the game, and you can look from body positioning where the puck is, and you kind of get a feel for it. But whenever I bring someone new to the game to watch the game, the first thing they always say to me, I got a friend staying at our house from Leeds, England right now. The first thing they always say to me is, I can't find the puck. I can't see.
Well, it was easy to find in this Stanley Cup final because it was always in the corner being cycled. So we're going to have to figure out a way to give people an opportunity. Yeah. Oh, here I get on my hobby horse again. Give people an opportunity to maybe shoot the puck 100 miles an hour every once in a while.
I love the fact that we started with a Hockey Canada press conference with Doug Armstrong, Ken Holland, Bob Murray, Mark Bergevin, Rob Blake.
Have you seen how long we have to talk?
Talking about the Fox pucks.
Well, no. Listen, I would hope that ESPN in the United States does bring some new technology to the
You're
dance.
Saying by they are generally more conservative.
I think so. They are volume first. It's funny. All the years that I worked at the league and around, there was always a love affair with hockey at ESPN. There was always people saying we're getting back in. We'd love to be back in.
And I'll tell you what, I've been at events. Best example, Wimbledon, where ESPN is on site. When they can, like this, they'll be able to do with this World Cup. Just turn one location into a studio, and they really surround it. And I'm assuming that's what we'll do as well.
I would hope so.
When you're if you're a Game Center Live subscriber, if you watch the Center Ice package, if you're a consumer of the National Hockey League, that places like Anaheim, places like San Jose are very challenging to watch because they're not really built for television. Either of those two arenas. But Toronto is quite the opposite.
Totally.
Is that, John, again, with the TV the TV hat on, is that the best place to shoot a game?
It's certainly in the top. The
Bell newer, Center's pretty good, isn't it?
Bell Center's good. I was lucky enough in one of my previous lives to be involved and brought into the process of designing for television for Air Canada Center. At one point, we had 57 wired camera positions.
57?
Yeah.
And so Anaheim and San Jose would have about 17?
That might be high.
Really?
That might be high. Yeah. Anaheim, No disrespect to the people in Southern California, but Anaheim to me is the most frustrating hockey building, television hockey building in the National Hockey
League.
Because
why? There's not enough camera positions?
Not enough ice access. You know, there are lots of issues that people want to protect their sport and want to protect their team so they don't allow ice access.
And that main shot, the...
Hang on, what do you mean? What do you mean by ice access?
Handheld cameras.
On the ice.
At ice level. Oh, okay. You know, the broadcast booths. I mean, it's all the minutiae that make a broadcast comfortable. And if you can keep your people comfortable, keep your technicians comfortable, keep the whole production comfortable, you're going to find if you do it with a smile on your face, you're actually going to do a better job. Mm-hmm. And Anaheim is one of those things. Even our time at the league, we tried to go into places. Great example, Florida. Florida said, hey, help us. Make us better. We moved cameras. Mm-hmm. St. Louis, mm-hmm. the same thing. We moved camera positions closer to the ice so that was an opportunity. We trained camera people. Anaheim, we couldn't do anything. We couldn't move things. We couldn't move things in San Jose either.
Is that a resistance from
both? It's
a
combination of both, and saying that the paying customer is still more important than the rights fees that we get. And now the great thing is, and that was 10 years ago. That world has changed now too. So the check you're getting from U.S. local and Canadian national and U.S. national television is better.
By the way, Mr. Television, yeah. Captain Television, did you, not to get into all the ratings, but the ratings from the U.S. Mm-hmm. seemed positive to this Stanley Cup final?
Yeah, I thought they were good.
Were they? Did you read anything into that in terms of trends?
Chicago. Chicago, Chicago.
So just Chicago. Big city.
Chicago city. Drives it.
Yeah. Oh, and I mean, Chicago's the new Detroit. You know, they travel well. I mean,
everybody wants them in their games and their.
Everybody wants Chicago, yeah. And I mean, and
well, you look at the NBC schedule.
There's a huge awareness about Chicago. I mean, there 50 million people live within 300 mile radius of Chicago. You know, so that's one in every what six Americans.
What happened to the days where there are 20,000 hockey fans in Chicago and they all go to the game and that's it?
Well,
because TV, as you know, it didn't exist.
A certain
for home
owner
games,
named Dollar Bill made it so.
Yeah,
I mean, now they've invited everybody in. They want to now be. Sort of the national...
America's hockey team.
America's hockey. Yeah, that's a great way
Give
to put it.
Give two people credit. Rocky Wirtz, who, you know, as soon as he took over, wanted TV at home. And John McDonough, who had...
I thought you were going to say Mike Kitchen.
Well, him too. And John McDonough, who moved over from the Chicago Cubs, who, let's face it, were America's baseball team for so long because of WGN. Yeah. And created partnerships with that same company, with WGN, on radio and television for a while. And the Blackhawks have just exploded. You know, I mean, look at that parade.
Boy, that's a great way. And I hadn't thought of it that way before. And I wish I could steal this and write a column on it.
That's never happened with you before, has
never.
It? No.
This would be the first.
Oh, yeah. First one today.
Easy, cowboy. The Hawks as America's team is an interesting...
Well, you know
because
what?
They're really... I guess the Red Wings would have been it.
They were. I mean, again, you could.
But the Red Wings were with the Russian Five and a whole bunch of Swedes.
And Steve Yzerman.
The Hawks are going to do it with more a North American-based group of guys.
Correct.
And it's Chicago versus Detroit. Chicago, I mean, whatever you want to say about Detroit, Chicago is Chicago.
Sure. And ironically, you don't like me using that word.
Because you'd never use it correctly.
I know.
That's why you're not a columnist.
Which is the ironic part about
that. You don't have to steal column ideas.
The sad thing is that the rivalry between the Blackhawks and the Red Wings is the one thing that suffered with the realignment.
Truth.
And those two teams, one went to the East, one stayed in the West. And those were, if you went to a Chicago game in Detroit and a Detroit game in Chicago, they were.
But I'll tell you, I was in St. Paul for that second round series. And the presence of the Chicago Blackhawks in St. Paul, Minnesota.
You know what? In Tampa. You should have seen it in Tampa. Yeah. Yeah. Even though they weren't allowed to buy tickets. There had to be 5,000 Chicago fans.
What John McDonough has done a great job of as well, and you go back to the resurgence of the Blackhawks, even before they started to win Stanley Cups, is he's kept the Chicago Blackhawks in the headlines. And I can remember one very specific situation where there was a lull where the Blackhawks weren't making headlines and Dale Tallon was almost instructed to go and make this deal. And that was a Brian Campbell deal. That was from John McDonough to Dale Tallon. We need a headline, sign Brian Campbell. It may be more money, but what we lose on the hockey end of things and piping too much, we make up on the market.
That's funny because we lived in a town, and we live in a town for years that the owner would could make headlines any day of the week he wanted, and he didn't win.
That's true.
I mean,
well. Well, the problem was he didn't know how to convert that into anything.
Indeed.
Joel Quenneville's name was mentioned. He'll get back to the Hockey Canada press conference here. A couple minutes left. Hockey Central at noon. The traditional show begins in a couple of moments.
Well, what was this we've been doing?
Well, we've been kind of tap dancing and talking about the Fox puck.
This is Hockey Central Extra.
John put on his TV executive hat, and you turned into Conan the Grammarian when he started to use the
word. Oh, no, listen, as soon as I said the word, I knew I was in trouble. I should never even have tried.
Joel Quenneville's name, going to get bandied about a lot. Three Stanley Cups in six seasons for Chicago as we look at who's going to coach Team Canada. Joel Quenneville's name must be a consideration, true or false.
What is his relationship with Hockey Canada?
What do you think it is?
I don't know.
You think it's not positive? You're clearly hinting at something.
Well, no, here's a guy, let's face it, here's a guy that had health issues with the last time he was a coach for Canada at the World Championships, and they had to go, and I think, believe Mike Keenan took over for the rest of the tournament. Mm-hmm. But that was a while ago. So what is, and I'm just asking the question, what is Joel's, it goes back to building relationships. What is his relationship with Hockey Canada? Now, I agree with Damien. I do think Mike Babcock deserves an opportunity to say no. Or yes,
Doug Armstrong did mention his name this morning with David Amper.
Well, he should.
So,
and also remember mentioned Daryl Sutter and Alain Vigneault, whose names haven't been really up there for Team Canada.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll restart Hockey Central Noon here in a couple of moments alongside Damian Cox and John Shannon. So Hockey Canada names its management staff for the 2016 World Cup of Hockey. More discussion in moments right here.